Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been looking at chapter 3, verse number 13, which reads, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints." And we've been looking at the last couple of episodes of this issue of the establishing that's actually occurring with the individual that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to, the things that happen once an individual puts their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone, they receive salvation. And then the next step that starts to happen is that there's a growth that's occurring. And as that growth is occurring, there's establishing to build the person up into a place to where we're actually able to say that we have that stability that God wants. And this stability is all based on the fact that we are taking the Word of God in, letting it have an impact on who we are, so that way we can actually experience the change that the Word of God is making a reference to. And that change with that establishment is reflected in on how we live our life. And we see how God intends for us to live our life. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 2, and we're going to look at a verse we've looked at several times before in our studies of this book of where the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here, this way of living our life, when he says in verse number 20 of Galatians 2, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And we see how what is intended for the members of the body of Christ is that the Lord Jesus Christ would be living in us and through us, that he would be functioning in a manner to where everything that is going on in our life is reflective of the doctrine that has been laid out in the books of Romans through Philemon, which is how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to live in us and through us. Now, what does happen is for any member of the body of Christ is that there are times when we do this very well. We allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us. There are times where we don't allow this to happen in the manner that it should be happening. And there are things that result from that to where it's not what is truly intended for us in our Christian life. Now, if we go over into the book of Romans, we'll go to Romans chapter number 7, and we're going to see the Apostle Paul get into a discussion here that a lot of individuals really struggle with the issues of what the Apostle Paul is making a reference to, because they read what he's saying and the immediate thought that they have is that there's no way that what Paul is talking about has anything to do with, you know, the things of who a saved individual would actually be, because they see how Paul's making a reference to failures going on. So the immediate thought process that somebody has is that, when Paul's writing this, he has to be talking about himself prior to his salvation with this. But Paul's actually talking about the life that he is living as he is writing this, and how there are times where there's struggles going on related to following this doctrine. And here in Romans chapter number 7, let's start here at verse number 15. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, when you read this, you see how Paul is bringing up that there's this struggle that's going on, identifying that there are things that he's doing, and he's doing them right exactly the way the doctrine's been laid out, and there are things that he's doing that don't line up with what the doctrine is, and how this struggle's going on with him, but it's not him that's the issue. Because, and we've talked about how in God's eyes, the flesh is already dead, because the flesh has been crucified, it has been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, so that spiritual circumcision separates the flesh from who we are, even though we're still walking in a fleshly body. It's not part of who we are. And because it's not part of who we are, and the law's already been taken care of, the issue of sin has already been fully dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when, even though we're having these struggles, the whole issue becomes that that's not what we are identified in. And that's where Paul begins. We're here in Romans 7. You see how he begins chapter number 8, which, you know, in the original, how it was written, there was no chapter and verses. This would have been just a continuation of the thought that had been laid out previously in verse 1 of chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And we see how this whole thing of that walking not after the flesh, that it is impossible for an individual today to walk after the flesh. And this cannot be stressed enough, because unfortunately so many people try to put themselves and identify themselves with the things of the flesh. And when they do that, there's so many things that struggle and, you know, cause them to not be doing the things that they should, because they just can't, you know, deal with the issues of, you know, what the scriptures say when it's clearly identifying the fact that that's not who we are. That's why we see what Paul writes over in Galatians chapter number 5 when he gets into another discussion on this topic, and we see how he uses words that show that we are not walking in the flesh here. And in Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to start here, verse number 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We see how immediately he starts off with this thing of a contrast between walking and fulfilling the lust of. You know, we still walk in these fleshly bodies. There's still lust of it that we can give into, but it's not put as walk in the Spirit and ye shall not walk in the flesh, because the flesh is not part of who we are. And that's why you see, as he just says here, verse number 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And there's a contrast here that's being made between these things. In verse 19, where it says, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and he lists them out, and contrasting those things with the fruit of the Spirit, which is laid out in verses 22 and 23. A singular fruit that is supposed to be manifest in the life of a member of the body of Christ. And the only way that these things are going to be manifest in us is as we start to have this establishing after our salvation and the Spirit working in us, because we've taken the Word in, which is what we're going to look at in some of these passages now, of what it is that's intended for us. And it starts with the issue of our studying of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And there's a studying that has to occur, and identified as that it's a work that's going to need to be done. You know, it's not something that's just an easy thing where we just say, okay, well, we just do that and it happens and, you know, it's all good. It's a work that somebody has to do of studying, taking the Word of God in, so that way we will not be ashamed. And that shame would only occur at the judgment seat of Christ when an individual is not receiving the rewards that they should have had because of their failure to study, and they've not built up the gold, silver, and precious stones that should have occurred as a result of their studying and application of the Word of God. Now, we see how the Word actually is able to start to work in an individual. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we're going to see here, starting at verse number 6, a process that occurs after salvation, and it's going to need the Spirit working in the individual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we see how there's this process that occurs, a process that we've looked at several times as we've been studying the book of 1 Thessalonians, of how the Spirit works with the Spirit that's inside of a man, teaching the things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, comparing the verses together so that way we can get the insight into what the passages actually mean, so that way we can have the change that the Apostle Paul makes a reference to in Romans chapter number 12, when he says in the first two verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we see how as this comparing of the spiritual things with spiritual happens, that there's going to be a renewing of the mind, a transformation that's going to occur through the Word of God, rightly divided, to put the doctrine into us so that way we can understand what it is that God intends for us to do. And that's when we look at the practical things of how a member of the body of Christ is supposed to live their life, we see that it's the doctrine that's going to instruct the individual. And that's why you see how it's, you know, over in Titus, that's the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then it says teaching us. So it's the grace of God that's going to teach us. And in Titus chapter 2 verse 12, you see how, in the paraphrase of this, that it's the grace of God that's going to teach us, here's some things that you're not supposed to do. And it's the grace of God that's going to teach you, here's what you're supposed to do as you encounter these things in your life. Now, it has to be the grace of God doing this, because you could see other doctrine that's laid out in the scriptures that would have this appearance of saying, here's what you're supposed to do, here's some information that you might need. And if you try to follow those things, you know, you might be doing good things, but because you're not following the doctrine, you're not going to be pleasing unto God. You're not going to be building the gold, silver, and precious stones. And we see how, as an example, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to see here in Ephesians chapter number 4, where the Apostle Paul is going to, you know, lay out some of these things as examples for individuals. That way they know what it is that they should be doing here. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to start at verse number 22. It says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And we're going to continue on, look at this for a moment, but I want to focus on these three verses first, because you see this process, the things that we've just been looking at, you know, for example, in 1 Corinthians over in the book of Romans in chapter number 12, that there's, as you're taking this doctrine in, what's going to happen is you're going to put off the things of the old man, put off the things of the flesh, the natural man, all those things that the world would want you to be part of. And instead, you're going to put on the things of the new man, put on the things of the doctrinal information that we find in Romans through Philemon. And now, Paul's going to give the examples from verse 25 down through the end of this chapter that we're going to read, where we're going to see some of these things of how it is that the grace of God is supposed to be coming out of who we are. Verse 25 of Ephesians chapter number 4. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, you see, as he is laying these things out, you know, that it's not just the thing of where, you know, like the law just said, thou shalt not steal. And just, you know, a black and white thing of don't steal. You see, you know, for example, verse 28, where the grace of God says, "Let him that stole steal no more." But then it says, here's what you're supposed to do, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. So it's that idea of you don't steal, but you're to work so that way you're going to be able to help individuals that have a need. Verse 29, you see the issue of let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, you know, there are certain things that we shouldn't be saying, but then he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So, you know, don't say the things that are labeled as corrupt communication, but the things that we should be saying should be edifying unto other people. So the Apostle Paul keeps laying these things out to where we have the understanding of, here are the things we're not supposed to do, here are the things that we're supposed to do, and if we're putting off the old man, putting on the new man, we're going to see that that's going to lead to the establishing that the Apostle Paul is writing to these saints in Thessalonica to tell them, that remind them that this is what they're supposed to be doing, and how that they're being established in this manner where they're unblameable, they're in holiness, and then we're going to see how, and we're going to start with this in our next episode, when it says, before God, even our Father, that this condition of being seen as being unblameable in holiness, that that's a standard. It's not man's standard that's going to be the issue. It's how it is that God is actually seeing us. And that's the issue that we have to be looking at. And like I said, we'll pick up with that next week. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have audio files of some of our past messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything that you hear in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.